This is Andrew Corbett, and we are looking and continuing to look at how to build a covenant community based on the principles found in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. This is study number 21, Never Be Conceited. Romans chapter 12, from verses 9 down to verses 21 is the series, and we are now at study 21. We're looking at verse 16, part D, which says, the full verse says, live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly, never be wise in your own sight, or never be wise in your own eyes, or never be conceited. So that's why we say this phrase can be translated, do not be wise in your own eyes. It is possible to possess high intelligence and use it to belittle others. This is acting with conceit. When someone is indifferent to the plight of others while being quick to tell them of their own achievements, they are being conceited. To build a covenant community of believers, it is essential that we learn how to never be conceited. Question 1. How does Proverbs 27 and verse 2, which says, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips, challenge the conceited, and how might we put this into practice? Well, I think we are all at times conceited. We all behave in a conceited way. So this is not suggesting that, you know, we've got this figured out. But I think this points out that when we blow our own trumpet, so to speak, when we are always talking about our own achievements rather than taking the time to take an interest in someone else, we're not really applying that principle. Let someone else praise you, talk about you, and let's not try to cultivate that. Let's develop genuine humility, as we've already seen, and not be always focused and talking about ourselves. That's why this is a real challenge for each of us, because we all at times want the focus to be on ourselves, which is the essence of conceit. And question 2. What does Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, which says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. What does that verse command followers of Christ to do, and why might this be difficult for some? Well, do nothing out of selfish ambition. We are all at times selfish, and we are all at times guilty of selfish ambition and focusing on ourselves. The challenge is to be humble and to count others more significantly and to be more significant than ourselves. This actually is a real challenge for most of us. And so that's why this is going to be difficult, especially if we haven't been used to thinking in terms of living in a way where we consider others, which I hope we will soon realize. This is going to be the biggest challenge out of this study. Question 3, what is the positive instruction and also the negative instruction found in Philippians 2:4, which says, let each of you look not to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So I know that in this world, in this generation, there's a big focus on look after number one. Take time out for yourself. Focus on yourself. Let the kids run wild for a moment while you have your own me time. This is not gospel. Gospel is don't always focus on yourself. I'm not saying that you let yourself, you know, run ragged and end up in poor health. Not at all. But the scripture says here that we are to consider the needs of others. And this is where I think parents, especially mothers, do need congratulating, because they have to do this day in, day out. This is their lot. And the rest of us have to try and catch up. So is the challenge of not always focusing on yourself. That's the negative. And the positive, put the focus on someone else. Have a think about what they're after. Seeking the praise of others puts someone at greater risk of being conceited. Why? Well, this would be an ideal opportunity for group discussion. The discussion might end up by concluding at least when this happens, at least that they are then putting the focus onto themselves, which is the essence of conceit. And secondly, it becomes tempting to seek the praises of people and their attention at any price, which can lead to us not doing the right thing and end up becoming even foolish. And you've only got to look at class clowns where that's borne out. Question 5, how does Proverbs 9 verse 9, which says, give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser, teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. How does that verse give advice which deals with one of the aspects of becoming conceited, of being conceited? Well, give instruction to a wise man, because the conceited are very difficult to correct. They're very difficult to teach. So one of the things we're going to look at in a moment is I'm going to suggest that to counter conceit, we have to become teachable. Being conceited involves overestimating your own abilities. So therefore, question 6, which is better, to have others underestimate you or to have them overestimate you? Have a discussion about that. I'm going to suggest it's better to be underestimated. And I want you, if you are old enough, you might remember the TV show Columbo, and you remember Detective Columbo was always underestimated by the murderer, as this homicide detective eventually was able, by simply disarming in the sense of having them greatly underestimate his abilities, his detective abilities, he was able to solve the crime. And it's just a, you know, okay, it's a cute, corny TV series, but it does have a profound point to make. In Galatians 5:26, which says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So the apostle warns in that verse believers not to, 1, become conceited, which leads to, 2, provoking one another, which leads to, 3, envying one another. The Greek word for provoking in this context means to be irritating. Conceited people are irritating people. Question 7, in what 4 ways would a conceited person have to change to cease being conceited? Well, as we've seen from some of these scriptures so far, firstly, they'd have to become teachable, accept correction, accept that they just may be wrong at times. Secondly, learn to celebrate with others, celebrate their happy occasions, celebrate their achievements, celebrate their milestones. Let the focus be on someone else by celebrating with them. And 3, bless those that they are envious of. Buy them a gift. Talk them up. Listen to them and congratulate them on their achievement. Bless those that they're naturally envious of. And 4, let others have the acclaim and the limelight. Don't always be craving it for yourself, and don't be ticked off if someone else gets it. Those are the 4 areas I think a naturally conceited person has to work on. What effect would such, question 8, such transformed people then have within the local church? Well, that's a discussion. Put that out there. See where it lands. I think the discussion might land somewhere around that the church would become increasingly caring, because each of us would be less concerned about ourselves, our problems, our needs, and more aware, at least more aware of each other, which has got to be a good thing. And that would lead to the church overall becoming a more caring church. So here's the prayer. May God help each of us not to be conceited and to have the grace to persist in cooperating with the Holy Spirit's transformation of our lives. Amen. And I hope that at the start of the meeting, you started with a time of fellowship, a bit of supper, a drink and some nibblies or something like that, and the opportunity given for people just to be able to have a bit of a chat and catch up. I hope then as you moved into the place, the area, the space where you study, do the study, that you opened with the 2 questions. What are you thankful for and what would you like prayer for? It gives people an opportunity to share, perhaps in a little bit more serious way. And as you write those requests down, remember you can download the template sheet for that from the website. And as you fill that out, you will then bring that up now at the end of the study where you remind people, these were the prayer requests that we had and this is what we can be praying for. And have each person go around the room, person on your left, and then finish up with you, where you tie the whole night together, bring it to a conclusion, and particularly with the theme of the study tonight. Well, God bless you. I really do trust that you're benefiting out of these studies. Although it sounds like it's a long series, each of these studies are standalone, and each one is quite diverse in many respects. So even if you've just picked this study up tonight, you're just doing study 21. This is still going to be of value even without having done the others. If you have done the others, Congratulations. I think you're a legend. Anyway, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at Twitter, on Facebook, or check out the website. There's a contact page there as well. God bless you. And we'll be back with our next leaders coaching session as we look at the next study, which is Repay No One Evil for Evil.